I'm Gabby Lamb.
And I'm Harper Rose Drummond.
And you're listening to Tea Time, where we talk about the nastiest, dirtiest,
naughtiest, wildest secrets.
Enjoy. Welcome back to another episode of Tea Time.
Hey.
I'm your host. What's his name? Ron DeSantis? Governor of, is he running for president?
It's rumored that he's gonna.
Okay, well, he did that weird thing where he shipped off all the immigrants to like Martha's Vineyard.
What?
Yeah.
When?
Like recently. And then they're all like, we didn't consent to this. And he's like, no, they did. It's way better for them here.
Where is he? Where is he?
Florida,
living?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
cool.
It was Abbott, the governor of Texas. They like teamed up and started shipping.
Oh, Greg Abbott?
Yeah.
We love that. So you're Greg Abbott. I'll say that.
Okay.
I'm Ron DeSantis.
Okay. Yeah, you guys. So if you guys want to go on a trip, let us know.
We've got quite the place for you.
Yeah. Martha's
Vineyard.
You ever
heard of Martha's Vineyard?
Wow.
It's actually quite nice.
Oh, yeah. And so he was doing them a favor. Welcome to another politically charged, sexually charged podcast.
Politically correct, sexually awakening podcast.
I'm sick. I wish I wasn't. I don't think it's COVID. I did test. It came back negative. Who even knows these days? It's not
sounding
great.
Yesterday when I got home, you did sound like you had the Black Plague, but now...
I've been sleeping every day, probably 6 hours a day. I've been sleeping all day the past few days. Going to Big Fresno tomorrow for a theater show. Then Merced, then Visalia. So we're doing theaters all weekend, baby. We're doing theaters all weekend with a voice like this. Not looking forward to it.
And that's
passing to you, Honk. What's going on?
Spreading the love and spreading the plague. And we do love that. What's going on with me? I co-wrote a little sketch that was going to be aired on Comedy Central. They approved it, was really excited. It came out today, and they...
Wait, can we play it on here?
Butchered it.
We'll get caught up on YouTube. I can put a link to it.
Okay, well, you have to show during or afterwards, because I wanted to watch that.
Well, it was fun. It was, you know, it was cool. But then I knew it was coming out today, and then I look at it, and they butchered the sketch. They, like, cut it all up. And then only just like aired like a teeny tiny part of it. So then it didn't even all the way make sense. And then just moved on to the next thing. It's like they're doing this, this segment on their Instagram stories for climate change. And so my friend and I wrote, Bianca Cristoval wrote a sketch for about climate change or whatever. And it was in the style of like Elle Woods's acceptance speech her admissions video for Harvard or whatever. But anyway, they butchered it and I saw it. And I was like, you know what? Why would that have gone right? Why would that have worked out? So
because why would have anything?
You know,
worked
why
out?
That's just a fun little aspect about this. But yeah, I have a few other things that I won't get into right now. But you know, so I'm not really too mad about that because there's more good things coming down the pipeline.
She has a warrant out for her arrest.
Yeah, she really exciting, really
that.
Big. It feels good to be wanted. I'll tell you that.
I like that.
And I like it too. I think it's good.
Now, here's the thing. I'm sensing haunted energy and it could be because I'm sick. Are you picking up on haunted energy?
What, from me?
No, just in general.
It's a little haunted.
It's a little haunted, isn't it?
Well, he's a cuck. He's going to just bend to whatever you say.
Yeah.
But do you feel like it's haunted?
No, I feel good. No.
Interesting. Maybe it's because I'm sick.
I think, yeah, you were feeling fucked up yesterday.
I've been feeling haunted the past few days. It's not cute.
Today's like the first, maybe I don't feel bad because it's the first day I haven't felt like violently depressed.
Okay.
I had been crying every single day. And you know what? Today, we're breaking it. The Al-Anon shit was really starting to take a toll. But today we're releasing that. So we do love to see it.
I started off my day with an AA meeting. Another one of those days. You go into those rooms and you say, the fuck am I doing here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're there. You sure are just there.
Okay, but was your meeting... Okay, did you have an experience like I did last night in my meeting? Or was this more just like one of those meetings where you're like, yeah, it's not magical, but it's important that I'm here?
I don't even know what it was. First of all, I just felt... I don't feel good. I just don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
My face feels stuffy. My energy feels bad. I feel a little bit numb. And so I was just there being like half there, half not there.
Well, I FaceTimed you, and when you immediately hung up, I was like, wait, are we in a fight? But then you were like, you're like, oh no, I'm in this meeting. And I was like, okay. I was like, because we don't hang up on each other. But
No. It was in this damn AA meeting. And I just feel, I feel numb. I shared today. I said, just feels like right now, all my life is just going from meeting to meeting and trying to find the purpose in between.
Yeah. And that's what it's going to be for a minute. And that's, then you'll come out of it.
Yeah. That's what it's going to be for a minute.
I really did not want to go. I haven't been wanting to go to like the past few meetings. And like, this is my first time doing Al-Anon with a sponsor. And like, logically, I knew it was going to be a lot of work. We haven't even gotten into the thick of it yet, so I really should not be complaining. But I knew it was going to be a lot of work. And I, like, logically, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be hard, but like, I feel like I'm finally ready. And then now that it's coming down to it, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to do it, but I really don't fucking want to. And I did not want to go to the meeting I went to last night, but then it ended up being very cathartic and everyone, you know, had amazing shares.
Yeah, it's always one of those things where it's like when you don't want to work out and you're like, but I have to fucking do it. And you do it and you're like, all right, I'm glad I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Still a big piece of shit inside this body, but I'm glad I did it.
My insides are fucked, but you know, at least I'm working.
Well, I guess we could get into stories quick, but I just was thinking about this morning. I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, and he was telling me that he's like working closely with another friend of ours, and he was like, you know, it just makes me fucking crazy because this friend of ours like has no reservations about like his success. He's all like, he just like operates under the whatever. Yeah, that he's just like everything.
The faith.
Sure, that like everything is like gonna be like he's gonna be successful. Like he doesn't ever question himself or think like I'm a piece of shit. He's just like, yeah, like I'm meant to be here. I'm meant to be doing what I'm doing. I'm good at what I do, and I'm gonna make it. And
which mutual friend is this?
Our mutual friend is telling us about another mutual friend, and he's like, yeah, he just like does. He like feels good about what he does, and he doesn't question it. And he's like, yeah, I'm meant to be here. I'm successful, and I'm like that. God, what a wild place to live. And he said something that I thought was so interesting of like him, like as a gay man, is like, I feel like I'm always taking up space and having to apologize for who I am. And he's like, and I'm sure that like you can relate to that, like as like a woman, like, cause it feels like that. Like there's this thing that's ingrained in us of always feeling like we're taking up a little bit of space. Like we're not supposed to like, you know, like kind of be there, or that like
and you honestly shouldn't. You should be in the kitchen, like where you right. belong. But no, I see what you're saying. And I agree with that.
And that this other friend of ours just like is like, yeah, I got it. I'm good. Like I'm gonna be successful. I'm fucking here. Doesn't question any of it. And I'm like, what? I have never even for one second in my life been like, yeah, I'm fucking meant to be here. You know, I'm always
yes,
like,
you have.
That's like a level of peace that I have yet to achieve of being like, yeah, things are, you know.
You might have moments of it.
I'll have like, moments of like, oh, that was a good thing. But I've never once gone through a full day being like, I'm good at what I do. I feel good about it. And I'm going to be successful.
Well, you got to like speak nicely to yourself. You have to like practice it. And until when I started therapy in like end of 2020, my therapist would like make me repeat stuff to her, and it felt so weird and cringe and inauthentic, and or would it be unauthentic, whatever, but anyway, it felt very foreign and like embarrassing,
like
forced. It felt like you know how you used to work at that like hippie place where you, instead of ordering like, hey, I want a cheese quesadilla, you'd have to be like, I want to order the I am fabulous. It felt that like cringe. And so, but she would make me say this shit to her about like believing in myself. And then after a minute of doing that, over a period of time, I was kind of like, oh, okay. Like it does. Obviously you still have shitty days, but like you have to practice being nice to yourself because everyone else is going to be a fucking asshole to you. So you have to at least be like your source of comfort.
Just to like be able to do that though, naturally, and not have that like immediate thing to be like, I'm a piece of shit. I'm like, that blows me away. The fact that people can just like be like that. I'm like, wow.
I agree.
How do you feel like you're deserving of good things?
Someone much smarter than me was explaining this, and I feel like I'm going to fucking butcher it, but it's a form of like self-sabotaging narcissism to constantly be like putting yourself down and talking mean about yourself, because then you're still wrapped up in self.
It is narcissism to an extent. It is. And I hear about that all the time in like AA. It's just people are always like, to be so low on yourself is a form of like, in a way, like grandiosity. Mm-hmm. Like self-obsession. Ugh.
And then like when you think like, oh, like everyone hates me. I remember I used to always say that to my therapist. I'm like, oh, I just feel like everyone hates me. And then she was like, you think everyone's thinking about you? I'm like, Jesus, chill out. No, I mean, no. And she's like, that's what you're saying. You're saying, oh, everyone thinks that I'm so important that everyone has these huge opinions of me. And she's like, no, everyone's thinking about themselves. If you did something mean to someone, apologize and keep it moving. Like no one has time for this. And I was like, ooh, ooh, okay.
Then I think about that. Then I think about how much time I spend thinking about how much I dislike other people. And I'm like, well, I mean, I think about it. So definitely other people are thinking about it. I do.
Yeah, me too.
I think about how much I dislike people all the time. I mean, don't let
them take up space. It doesn't matter.
I'm like, you do this too. Don't act like motherfucking Teresa over here. I know you fucking do.
I don't sit around in my room staring at my phone, hating people. No, I don't. I literally do not. People get on my fucking nerves, of course. No one is above that. Yeah, there's people that are motherfucking goddamn annoying. But I literally was just telling you this the other day. Before, when I didn't have certain people either not blocked or not muted, yeah, it really would be fucking triggering if I open up Instagram like, oh, there's that stupid fucking face again telling those stupid fucking jokes I hate. But then I was like, I'm causing myself, like, they're not thinking about me like this. And if they are, okay, who gives a fuck? Like, just mute them.
And I think intellectually, you know, I know that, but the amount of time that I still will be like, I don't like this.
Mine is people I work with. Yeah. There's always somebody I'm working with.
Well, that's hard when you have to see the same people consistently. Oh my God. When I worked in a restaurant, it was really fucking bad. There was two people that I wanted to like fucking throw hot coals on, and I fucking hated them. But like, then when you aren't in that setting where you're seeing people, like you're not in a mm-hmm. traditional workspace, then I feel like it is easier to let things go. The one of the grudges I held for the longest time was that guy that was like dragging you and I both through the mud on social media. But like recently I've even been like, is he my favorite person in the world? Fuck no. But
I know, I have a really hard time with that.
I just don't give a fuck about that anymore.
I go through waves of like really being like, fuck him, to being like, oh, who cares? But
I used to hold grudges like intensely. It was like a medieval, like, you have crossed me and you shall never be forgiven. Like, it was very, but it was just, it's also so fucking boring. It's just boring as shit. And it also, like,
yeah, it is. I mean, it is boring, and it's just easier. It like puts you on a lower vibrational frequency when you're sitting around just being like angry at people for no reason. Sometimes I just really lean into it and I'm like, I don't care how petty this is. I just fuck you, you know? I really let it get the best of me sometimes. Oh, fuck you.
I've been working on it too.
I know. I get so fucking cynical and I'm just like, you can all suck my dick.
When you're in that, it's everybody. It's not just everybody. One person.
No, of course. And that's what I'm saying. It's a cancer, because when you look at that and you're like, wow, they're really fucking annoying. Yeah, I don't like the way they fucking do. And you know what? And then all of a sudden, then you're in a bad mood, and that bad mood, it's contagious. And so then like you start spreading it and spewing it. And it's just like
positivity over here.
I mean, I just had Alan on last night, so I think that's why I'm like in like a clean.
AA always makes me crazier. AA always makes me way more mad, because I just get in there and I'm like,
see, I went, okay, when I was leaving to my meeting last night, I go down the stairs and I'm not saying I don't ever do it. Of course I do. And like, I just said, I was in a depression of like, you know, like, and I'm in the kitchen. I'm like banging around, just like annoyed that I have to go to this fucking meeting that I don't want to go to. I don't want to sit in a room with a bunch of crying adults. I don't want to fucking do. I don't want to hear about it. I already know what everyone's going to fucking say. And then Gabby's like, you're like on the couch, like curled up, and you're like, honk, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. And you're like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm just annoyed. And you're like, wait, what? I'm like, and I have to go. And I just leave. And I'm like, oh. And then I get there. And then everyone else is like sharing about how like they're kind of annoyed. And then I don't know. Everyone just kind of like, it was just, again, cathartic. And everyone's just, you know, airing it out. And I don't know. I felt like I didn't even share, but it was just like nice just to like listen to everyone airing out certain things that had also been plaguing me. And then I just feel very light now today. Now, nice. Tomorrow I'm probably going to wake up and I might feel like a cunt again, but you know.
That's honestly, that's the power of a meeting.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for Gabby.
Yeah.
Do you share at every meeting you go to?
I try to. Today, I honestly didn't want to. And then they called on me and I was like, of course.
They call on you in AA?
Sometimes. And today was one of those days where they just called and I was like, God damn it. So I did share. And I went in there without the intention of sharing. Because usually I go there with the intention of sharing and I'm like, I'm going to do such a good share.
See, that's what I
think. You know, and I think about what I'm going to say. And I'm like, I want to hit this, this, and this. People are going to laugh at this point, you know, and I'm going to get all of these out. And then today they called me and I was like, God damn it, dude. And I just was like, I don't know. I feel fucking numb. And every day just feels like me trying to go to meetings.
But that's the most honest when you're caught off guard and you're like, and you just have to say what's on your mind.
Yeah. But then there are things where I like, you know, I'm like, oh, I wish I actually had talked about, you know, certain things. And
do you think it's important to, okay, this is where I have been getting.
Oh, I also forgot I'm PMSing. And when I PMS, I do get really fucking
yeah,
moody.
You're sick. You're PMSing.
I am PMSing like a motherfucker.
Okay. But for meetings, do you think it's important to share at every meeting? Or isn't it?
I think,
or is it okay to just sit back and listen sometimes?
I think it's both. I think it's if you feel compelled to, you should. If you don't.
I think if you really don't want to, you should.
Interesting. Okay.
But if you're just kind of there and maintaining and listening and actually taking things from what you're hearing, yeah. I don't think you really have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I kind of like got in my head just real quick. I just like got in my head because I was like, I don't want to. I don't know. I was like, is it weird if I'm like raising my hand at every fucking meeting? I'm like, oh, I don't want
to. As a newcomer, they say that you're like really supposed to be sharing all the fucking time.
Oh, okay.
See, like, on the East Coast, they say you're like at old school meetings, you don't share until you have 30 days.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, because you're just a rid bomb and nobody wants to fucking hear it.
That's so different than how it is here. Because here it's like,
they're like,
everybody wants to hear the newcomer share.
Oh. Yeah.
They have like designated segments for it. At least an hour.
That's funny. I didn't know that. Well, I guess we should get into weddings.
Yes. Okay. So this week's is wedding stories, either your wedding or a wedding you attended.
Any kind of wedding related thing. I can speak on behalf of everybody in here when I say that I'm the only married person in this room.
Divorced
now, have been married. Yeah, the divorce was finalized August 29th. Look at that. After 10 fucking years of being married.
And what a marriage it was.
What a marriage it was. God be honest, was Joe maybe one of my most successful relationships? Absolutely. Even in a 10-year-long marriage where we weren't together for 9 years of it. Joe's a great husband, great guy, love him. You know, and not mad at having him been my first husband. Maybe last. Who fucking knows? Who fucking cares? We got married at a courthouse because a week before he was supposed to fly back to England. And that was it. And that was my man.
That was your man. Okay. So I went to a wedding. My friend, I used to hang out with this Polish and Swedish girl when I was like first. I don't even know how I met them. But when I first moved to LA. Anyways, we became very close. And our Polish friend got engaged to this guy from, we'll say, Michigan. And was it a green card relationship? Or was she really in love? I think she was in love. But it also was for green card. Anyway, so they got married. Was it a Valentine's Day wedding? Yes, it was.
Interesting.
And yes, yeah. So already I go, interesting, interesting, interesting. We get there. Ooh, you know,
weird day to get married.
Yeah. Yeah,
making everybody else's Valentine.
Now, was beautiful and funny, and she still is. And, well, I just said her name. Did not mean to do that. All right, we're cutting that out. My bad. Okay, so I got a little too comf. But so, you know, she, incredible person. And the person that she married, super cute. But then you get to know his insides. And then you go, oh, you are truly an ugly, hideous beast.
Really?
Yeah, and he hated all of her friends, aka us. And so at the wedding, he we're going down the line and they mix like some Swedish, some Polish traditions in with the American traditions of a wedding. And we're like going down the line and like shaking hands before we all start dancing together. And when it gets to me shaking his hand, he goes, "You will never see your friend again after tonight. You will never fucking see her again. Fuck you." And I go, "Oh my God." I was like shaking. It was so weird. We didn't know each other that well. It was very hostile. So naturally, I had to get revenge. Okay, I'm unhealed at this time.
Why did he say that?
He fucking hated this group of our friends. I mean, we were all loud and crazy drunks, but whatever. But he like hated us. We weren't ever mean to him or anything. He just wanted her all to himself. He like wanted to like trap her. Oh, and he tried, fair. But failed. But anyways, that comes later. But this story progresses because I got so, I was already drunk at this point. And that really pissed me the fuck off. And I was a bit of a wild card back then. And so naturally, his uncle was there and he was very close with his uncle. And so we start talking, one thing led to another. And I did hook up with his uncle outside of the reception area.
What do you mean
hook up? And that was on Hollywood Boulevard.
Wait, what'd you do with him?
We made out and he may or may not have fingered me. And that's on fucking revenge. And then my friends and I went up and we told her.
On Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah.
What, they got married on Hollywood Boulevard?
They got married at a place.
Ew.
They got married on a place. I believe that was on La Brea. But then that was where the ceremony was. But then we all drove to. We actually pass it every single time we come here. And I think about it every single time.
Who gets married in Hollywood?
20-year-olds.
Ew.
I know.
What was the venue like?
It's bad. It's really bad.
They like had a like, banquet hall? Like,
yeah. And they had like a projector and like neon lights. And it was just like,
ew, imagine getting married out of Hollywood.
It was so bad, y'all. It was so bad. We all had to wear red dresses. Oh my God. So funny.
For people who haven't been to Hollywood, it's gross here.
Don't
you guys
go.
There's like half-eaten rats outside just like laying around. There's,
it is very like post-apocalyptic.
It looks like a third world country. Yeah. It's like a bomb exploded and
it's giving Ukraine.
Yeah. It's giving the aftermath of Ukraine.
Yeah.
It's not, giving Chernobyl is what it's giving.
It is.
Yeah. So you're going to see someone missing the flesh on their cheek.
That's always where I had like the most fucked up nights of my life was on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. So that was probably the craziest wedding I went to.
I feel like the first wedding that I went to with a date was with my ex. His name rhymes with egg. And we went to his friend's wedding and he was like, he wouldn't call me his girlfriend, but he invited me to this wedding. Mm-hmm. Wow, we did.
A real mind fuck.
Yeah, a real mind fuck with old egg over there. And we did so much coke at this fucking wedding. Another one of those ones where I was like, I'm going to get so fucked up with him and he's going to fall in love with me after this wedding and it's going to be so good. And he's going to finally be like,
well, probably because when you guys would get
my soulmate.
When you guys would get fucked up, is that when he would be the nicest to you?
Yeah.
God, yeah. He was so much. Of course, you're like, we're drinking tonight.
Yeah. He was so much fun when we were fucked up. And I was like, he loves me. And then the next day, we'd be hungover in his bed, and he'd just get on his phone and wouldn't talk to me. And I'd be like,
leave me alone, you slut.
I'd be like, okay, right, egg. Time to get fucked up again.
Here's a beer, egg. Come back.
So that was a fun wedding.
Yeah.
I guess. Did a bunch of coke.
Cute.
Yeah.
First wedding I was ever invited to was my oldest friend, and she got lesbian married.
Lesbian married?
Why'd you have to say that?
Because it was a surprise that she was.
Okay.
And now.
Should have led with that.
And now.
Hold on.
Okay, this mic keeps brushing my face.
She was like, hey, I'm having a wedding. You get to the wedding and she's marrying a woman and none of you knew?
So this woman had her in like this very, like your friend was like just kind of had her all to herself and like. She moved away from family and just kind of, and like they lived like with her parents and it was very kind of like secluded and
fucked up.
And when I went and visited, I stopped by and visited her and she was like so worried about spending too much time with me because her fiance was going to be upset about it.
Seriously.
Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah. Are they still together?
No, they got divorced and now she's getting married to a man.
Oh really?
Okay. Yeah.
So the marriage was probably a nightmare.
I am sure it was. She like gained a lot of weight. Her wife was also very, very heavy, but she was never that heavy. And like, they gained a bunch of weight and like then got married. And now she's like lost all the weight and is engaged again.
Okay. Well, congrats to her.
Yeah. I think she was very depressed.
I just want to provide some closure. I just realized my friend also fucking got divorced from this. He was trying to like seclude her away.
Hollywood Boulevard wedding?
Hollywood Boulevard wedding girl. Yeah, he tried to like, you know, just like keep her all to himself. He got abusive too.
Yeah.
Ooh. And got, you know, lost his form, if you will. And then she just fucking chucked the deuces up and just bounced to Poland with her family. Her family came over, helped her get all her stuff. And then they just went to Poland, got the divorce. Boom.
Cute.
I know. Love a happy ending.
Love a happy ending. Should we get into the stories?
Yeah. Hi there, Harper and Gabby. I met my ex-husband in Naples, Italy, in September 2010 at the time. I was a law student getting ready to begin an internship at my dad's best friend's firm. Instead, I decided to get engaged to an American Navy sailor who was stationed in my hometown and whom I'd known for a total of 3 months.
So wait, so she's in Naples. She's Italian.
Yeah, she's Italian.
Okay, and this guy's in the Marines, in the Navy. Red flag.
And that's not thank you for your service. Okay. Let's see. I was a law student. Yeah. So she's Italian. And then she falls in love with an American Navy sailor who is stationed in my hometown.
I will say being a sailor is the hottest one of the branch.
Yeah.
Go on. Sorry.
My cousin dated a Navy SEAL.
Hot or not hot?
So hot.
Yeah.
But riddled with demons because, you know, those SEALs have to do shit like... It's pretty intense.
Being a SEAL would be
but you
really
can't even
intense.
Like talk about. And then she got like really nice. I don't even know if I should say this, but I'll say it. She got like really nice pictures of herself taken while he was like stationed away. They hadn't seen each other in a minute. And she like sent him the pictures and then he got angry at her for taking them and then he broke up with her.
Oh, I love that.
And that's on Our Country's Finest.
And that's, serve and protect. Protect and serve.
That's the cops.
A-cup. Same thing.
Okay. And that's on Gabby's a white nationalist. Okay. Okay. Here's the thing. And that's on God. Okay. Instead, I get engaged to an American Navy sailor who was stationed in my hometown and whom I'd known for a total of 3 months. He proposed at an Irish pub on my 25th birthday. Uh-oh. It's giving romance. Less than a year later, we were married. I finished law school and moved to West Virginia with him less than a handful of months after
From Naples to West Virginia, poor thing.
Oh my God. But have you been to West Virginia? With him less than a handful of months after that. Turns out the Navy used to have a very secret base in the Appalachians. Okay, not me living in North Carolina and I can't say it. Okay.
Oh, who even knows?
Honestly, it doesn't even matter. The mountains are made up. Okay, but I digress. The wedding took place at a vineyard in southern Italy. Skeptical people from both sides of the world attended. They said we barely knew each other. They were right. I don't know why I'm reading it like this. We said it had been love at first sight. At the wedding, he had a best man and a best woman, whom, needless to say, I despised. A best man and a best woman.
Interesting.
I don't know if I would participate in that. Okay. Right after the wedding, celebrations ended. My then husband and I got into a huge fight outside of the same Irish pub.
Oh, good. Okay.
Where, it's kind of like giving closure. Kind of like full circle. Yeah. Out of the same Irish pub where he'd proposed. As I threw up the bottle of vodka I had just drunk. Good. Mm-hmm. Make him pay, you know. Then he nonchalantly proceeded to have food with his family and friends. The nerve. Well, he probably got hungry after seeing that little show. I felt like he hadn't been paying me enough attention on my wedding day of all days. Angry first night marital sex followed. My wedding dress got lost during the move from West Virginia to San Diego about 3 years later. The marriage ended in 2017. Those people were right after all. The end.
Now, here's the thing. I bet there are so many more fun details packed into that.
Mm-hmm.
This is what confuses me.
Okay.
Because you always hear the stories of love at first sight, right? And it's like, do we believe that or do we not believe that? Because there are some people who are like, I fucking met this person and right away I was like, this is my person and they stay together forever. Then you have other people who are like this, who are like, I met him, knew he was going to be the love of my life. 3 years later, you're fucking dumped somewhere in the Appalachian Trail.
That's an interesting question, Honk. Can I ask you, have you, with any of your past partners, have you ever had that love at first sight? Like you look
every single one of them. And this is the issue. Now this is the issue. Every single fucking man I've dated, I've been like, that's the one immediately. So I'm like, I don't know how anybody.
Okay. See, I'm the opposite. I look at a man approaching me and I go, you fucking disgust me. And next thing I know, I find myself enthralled with them. Mm-mm. And then they're breaking up with me. And I go, so was I right all along?
You were right all along.
And I was right
all
along.
And I was wrong all along.
Fuck.
So that's the thing. It's like, I'll never know. Because you know, people talk about that. They're like, I just knew. As soon as we locked eyes, I was like, this is the one for me. And I'm like, I've felt that about a guy's dick who I sucked, you know, in a bathroom.
But you're doing like that time. British show, Naked Attraction, where you're just like looking at the dick and you're like, oh, good heavens, I'm in love. But it's like,
You make eye contact with me at a bar and I'm like, yeah. And then you go to make out with your girlfriend and I'm like, still, yeah. You know what I mean? So I can't fucking figure it out.
I feel like I was in a similar, so only one relationship I ever had, it was love at first sight. We met in an improv class, or in the lobby of an improv class. And he walked in and I was like, oh my fucking God. So like that, like it was just over from there. And then we went on a date right after that class. And
that's
then,
wild.
Yeah. And then
really?
And then he told me, he's like, I have to confess something to you. He's like, that's really crazy you're in this class because I actually saw you work. I worked at a bar right next to this improv school. And he was like, I actually came into this bar with my friends a few weeks ago and I saw you and I couldn't stop looking at you. I thought you were so attractive.
He's really?
Like, it's so crazy that you came into this class. And it was like immediately we were like we spent every single day for the next like almost 3 years together. But that was like, you know, we did fall out of love the last year of our relationship and it was very sad.
See?
So it's interesting because it's like, I think you definitely can have that. I've never had it again.
Right. So is it real? We don't know. All right. We've got a short but sweet one.
Okay, honk.
It's funny. My husband and I had a small elopement, shotgun wedding, when my mother-in-law heard the news. Both of the baby and the betrothal... Is that how you pronounce that?
Wait, betrothed?
Betrothal. Betrothal. There it is. You're right.
In my fairy book, they use that word.
Both of the baby and the betrothal. Her only response was, are you? Please tell me you're joking, Tyler.
Her only response.
So the mother-in-law is basically, she's like, you're fucking pregnant and you're getting married. Are you kidding me?
You have to read the rest like a baby now.
Keep in mind that we've met several times over the year we were together, and she has never once been nice, despite my constant attempts at niceties. What a fucking nasty bitch. Despite my discomfort with her being there, my husband invited her anyway. Luckily, she couldn't be bothered to come. Instead, she had my husband's best friend from his hometown drop off their gift. It was an industrial black trash bag with the blanket I gifted her for Christmas that had their last name embroidered on it.
Wow.
The bitch couldn't even leave the tag on it. What a fucking cunt. I would have cried. That's really fucking mean.
I would have taken a shit in the blanket and then dropped it right back off at her place.
Fucking the fucking nerve of this bitch. She gives you back a fucking blanket that you gave to her. She gives it to you in a black trash bag.
This is the mother-in-law?
It's the mother-in-law.
Yeah, because she wants
to fuck her son.
Yeah. And I don't know how many more fucking times we have to prove it to you people. The moms are always going to want them to suckle on their breasticles.
That's fucking ew. Are you still married to him? And if so...
I'm really sorry you had to deal with that. Mother-in-laws, let me just say a message to you. Your son isn't going to fuck you. He grew up with you. If he was going to fuck you, he would have already done it. He doesn't want your fucking pussy.
Ew.
So stop harassing the women your son dates.
God, Jesus Christ. Well.
Now I'm in a bad mood. Fuck all that positive shit I said at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Let's lead with hate. Fuck you.
I'm saying always lead with hate. Always lead
Not
with
my
hate.
Ex-boyfriend fucking laughing in the corner.
What a fucking bitch. Can you imagine? Like, that's mentally ill, though. That's like, that's so... low fucking class. I'm real mad about this. You don't seem to be bothered.
I know. I just, in my family, there's some, I'm trying really hard. My family keeps getting mad at me for oversharing. So I'm really trying not to. But the reason why it's just not blowing me away is because this is like some shit that some people in my family have pulled. So I'm like, oh yeah, it's fucked up.
So, okay. Well, it's so fucked up. All right. Next one.
Your sick voice is really cute. Okay.
It's so
next
bad.
One.
You sound like Lee's like little elf or something.
Yeah. Sorry, Lee.
Yes. Sorry, Lee. It's okay, Gabby.
Am I really that nasally?
Am I really that nasally? Yeah.
Why do you think we had to break up? Okay. Here's my wedding story. Rewind to about a month before my wedding. I woke up in the middle of the night in excruciating pain. It was located in my lower right abdomen area. The doctor decided it must be appendicitis. Mm-hmm. This was after the doctor. Okay, now you go. Now you go. Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's giving appendix right away.
Also, I just want to say really quick before I continue, thank you so much to whoever wrote the story for using punctuation and making indents in the paragraph, because you know a bitch gets.
It's giving creative writing.
It's giving masterclass in writing. Okay. appendicitis. This was after the doctor was informed that I had a family history of gallbladder issues, but the doctor refused to test my gallbladder because I was, in his opinion, too young to be having gallbladder issues. So I get my appendix removed and I still felt horrible.
Oh God. Oh God.
Yeah, this is going to be a doozy. My recovery was terrible. I was still having pain in the area, but the doctor reassured me it was normal recovery pains from the surgery.
A month before the wedding.
Yeah. Okay. So I did my best to trust the doctor and thought maybe I was imagining that something was wrong. So about a month later, my wedding day arrives. I woke up the morning of feeling great, excited. It's supposed to be the best day of your life, right? Except that all changed after I ate a bagel and cream cheese. The bagel and cream cheese. Oh. The same excruciating pain I experienced a month before returned.
Fuck.
I tried taking a bath. My friend said maybe it was food poisoning, that I was having pre-wedding jitters. But I was like, no, this is the exact pain I had a month ago. And then I started connecting the dots. The night I initially had the horrific pain, I had eaten Taco Bell. Now, I was having the same pain after the bagel with cream cheese. When gallbladders aren't working properly, they freak out when the body is trying to digest foods that are high in fat. So I'm on the floor in the fetal position crying, realizing I had the wrong organ removed. And now my I know. This is like some Game of Thrones shit.
Oh, no.
Realizing I had the wrong organ removed. That's such a like a feral, like gruesome.
Right.
Like
these fucking
my organ.
Like, also, this has me so fucked up with doctors. I'm like, you went to school for like 10 years.
But also doctor, like the whole fucking health, this is like a whole other separate, we should do, I don't know if we've done this before, we should do like a fucking like healthcare.
Misdiagnosed medical.
Yeah, yeah, because you have to get several opinions. A doctor fucked my mom up because of this. And also it's a problem with women, especially with people of color, where they don't fucking listen to you.
Yes.
And it's so fucking awful. The sexism and the racism in the medical field is despicable. I'm coming for your throats. Fuck you.
Real quick, before you get into that too.
Yeah.
I just remembered, I heard a story the other day from somebody, I don't even know how to say this shit because it's Alcoholics Anonymous, but somebody was telling a story about how they used to go, you know, they would go, like, they would do meth and then they were dating a doctor, the doctor would smoke crack, and it was just like, there's just smoking meth and crack with a doctor that has to be up and, like, perform surgery in a couple hours, and it's like, these are, what? You're telling me the guy who's supposed to do fucking brain surgery right now is coming down from fucking crack? Like, they're...
Yeah.
So many doctors. My cousin used to date a doctor who... And they were both addicted to heroin together.
Shut up!
Yeah. I was trying to write a joke about it. I couldn't, like, get it. But, like, I was trying to write a joke about how, like, we view doctors kind of like how you're supposed to view, like, you know, like, the popes and whatnot.
They're almost godlike.
They're supposed to be, like, almost godlike. Yeah. Like, you're healers. Like, and, like, we're so, like, we... There's
you trust
so
the doctor
much,
with your literal life.
Yes, and there's so much vulnerability with, like, you know, sharing about, like, your weaknesses, and then, like, they look at your naked body and examine it, like, and then...
They see your bones, your blood, everything.
Yes, you tell them, you have fear in your eyes, like, I'm afraid that this might be happening to me. And then they go, okay, I'm hungover from meth right now, and also I'm not gonna listen to you. Fuck you.
Yeah,
you
hold on. I'm gonna take a quick smoke break, and then they're fucking tooting on the fucking toot toot pipe.
If I wanted to fucking talk to someone who
what's
wasn't gonna
called?
Listen, though, what? No, Pookie?
Pookie, yeah. They're fucking over there tooting on the Pookie.
Yeah, on the Pookie.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, before I learned it from a homeless woman down our street.
Called Pookie, yeah.
I was trying to give her food and water and clothes because she was completely naked. And she's like, no, I don't need clothes. Her pussy and her titties are out. And I'm like, girl, you need clothes.
Need Pookie.
And she's like, no, I need Pookie. Like, what? You don't know where Pookie is? And I'm like, babe, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then Joy was like, she's like, she means math. Math, yeah. Harper, math.
And then you got fucking...
And I was like, okay. Anyways, then
we
a guy
go to
walked
medical
by.
School. You're in hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt. You're so smart. And then you're over there fucking tooting on the pook.
Yeah, no, it's honestly super fucked up. And
it's
but anyways,
up.
And
anyway.
This is why, and also, but again, because it is a fucking business, then you have to like go and get more more opinions. If you're like, you're like, no, I truly do feel like something's wrong. And then you're going to get more opinions, which is costing you more money. Ooh, it makes me so angry.
I would love that as a topic. Misdiagnosed.
We should do that, actually. Misdiagnosed is a great topic.
I got a fucked up story for that. Okay, let's get back into it. So Miss Gallbladder Queen is munching her way to her demise. Okay, let's see. When gallbladders aren't working properly, they freak out when your body is trying to digest foods that are high in fat. So I'm on the floor in the fetal position crying, realizing I had the wrong organ removed, and now my gallbladder was throwing a bitch fit on my fucking wedding day. So my mom takes me to the hospital. They start running tests. I'm hoping they can give me something for the pain and I can still get married. But the ER doctors tell me that my x-ray showed alarming amounts of gas in my body. My gallbladder was freaking out so badly. It had created multiple gas bubbles in my body that were so large. The doctors worried they could put so much pressure on some of my organs that could potentially lead to bursting or dangerous blockages.
What?
They said that they couldn't get the gas... That if they couldn't get the gas bubbles under control, I would need to be officially hospitalized and obviously not go to my own wedding. At this point, I am in hysterics. Not only am I being told that my gallbladder may be ruining my wedding day, I'm also having doctors tell me that this could be a potentially life-threatening issue. I wanted to fucking kill the initial doctor who refused to test my gallbladder in the first place and took my appendix out instead. Yeah. They gave me a bunch of meds to target the gas. It took a couple of hours to let them kick in before they could do an x-ray to check the gas bubbles again. I am so sorry. I am so sorry.
Your wedding
I know this
day.
Was scary and hard and it's on your wedding day, but I just wanted to know what those farts were sounding like. And I am sorry. I'm sorry.
Was she farting though? Was she even able to fart? Or was
well, that's
it
what
just
I
like-
know. I want to know.
She was all blocked up with gas.
I just want to know if they were like stinky or like whatever.
I had a colonoscopy and when they put you out. And when I woke up, the gas hurt so bad. The first thing I said was cut me open. Like I literally wanted to be cut open to release the gas.
To release the farts?
Yeah. It hurt so bad.
Well, did you fart?
I farted so hard. And
did you?
I was just around other people who were doing like minute long farts. Just like.
Really?
Just like opening ash. Just wah. Yeah, just like
but that felt so good.
Yeah,
I love.
And
farting.
They tell you to like get in like downward dog and just like
really
just fucking
rip just ass.
Toot and boot that shit.
Yeah.
And
I was
you're
farting
a,
so
you're,
bad. The
and
other
you're
day
in a
bed.
Recovery room that's just everybody's farting.
Designated fart room.
Yeah,
I would die to be in that.
And
room.
That's on a gas chamber. Okay. Doodly doo doo. Okay, so she's crying. She has to fart. This is fucked up. Okay.
Fuck.
They gave me a bunch of meds to target the gas. I think I just read that. It took a couple of hours to let them kick in before they could do an x-ray to check the gas bubbles again. Thankfully, the meds worked and the gas bubbles shrank enough for the doctors to decide I wasn't in a life-threatening situation and that they could release me. By the time I was let out, it was 4 p.m. The ceremony was scheduled to start at 5.
Jesus! You just spent your whole fucking wedding day?
Bitch,
I know.
In
the hospital?
So here I am, an hour before my wedding, hair not done, no makeup on, still 15 minutes away from the hotel where I was supposed to be getting ready for my big day.
Oh my
but
God.
I was determined to not let this ruin my wedding day. I was going to walk down the aisle that day, marry my husband, and be a badass bride that wore a hospital and wedding gown on the same day. Yes, bitch. My cousin and sister-in-law rushed to do my hair and makeup at the same time. It wasn't the look I imagined for my big day, but I still felt beautiful. And for the limited amount of time we had, they made me look good. By the time we got my dress on, I got in the car. I was over an hour late to the wedding.
No.
Bitch. That's what I didn't know is that no one told my guests what was going on. Someone decided it was better to wait to say anything and just tell them there was a delay. Rumors started that I had gotten cold feet. My aunt told the bartenders to start serving alcohol early. By the time we were ready to start the ceremony, almost everyone was drunk.
That's actually pretty fun.
No, this actually sounds fun.
That sounds
okay.
Lit as fuck.
But I made it there. The wedding was beautiful and I felt victorious for not letting my evil gallbladder completely ruin my special day. During the reception, I started to feel sick. There were moments I had to go hide from the guests to sit outside and take slow, deep breaths of air. My photographer snuck me away to the bathroom. What if she was like documenting it? To the bathroom when I thought I had to throw up. I couldn't drink any alcohol or eat any of my wedding food out of fear that it would trigger my gallbladder to have another episode. Oh. With all this going on, I didn't have time to do the traditional go say hi to every guest at the wedding routine that some of the older attendees expected from the bride. I found out later that people talked shit about me, that I was rude for not making sure I greeted everybody. Fuck that. You should have farted on them.
You shut up.
Yeah, fuck them. Okay. I thought everyone was aware that I had spent a large portion of the day in the ER, but nope, they just assumed I was a bitch who was randomly disappearing from the celebration for the fun of it.
Oh! Did you ever end up telling them?
Well, by the end of this day, I tied the knot with the love of my life. This was back in 2012. We are still happily married.
Good.
I got my gallbladder removed a few months later. Sniff, snip. I needed to wait a bit longer to let my body recover from the initial appendix removal. What the fuck even is an appendix? I'm sorry. I'm going to be brave and just ask that. Okay. And I had it. Is that your throat?
No, it's down here. It's like what, next to your spleen.
Okay. There's so many things in this body. It's like, what's going on? Okay.
Yeah, it's down.
And I hadn't had issues since getting rid of it. My husband and I had promised each other that when we could afford it, we are going to have a vow renewal. Oh, and we don't have the money for it yet, but someday when we have extra cash, we're going to have the most epic wedding redo ever. And no one who ever talks shit about me is invited. I almost read your name. Oh my God. You have such a beautiful name. But oh my God.
Wow,
what a trip. Thank you so much for that story.
If I had money, I would donate money to you getting remarried.
Okay, here's
the thing.
That sounds
so fun and cool.
In a few years, when this podcast is like fucking popping,
we'll pay for your wedding.
We will literally pay for your wedding. The only catch is that you have to invite us.
You have to invite us, and we get to come dressed in hospital gowns.
Yeah. Oh my God, please. Okay, this is like a verbal.
Is it next to your spleen?
Vow to you.
So your appendix is like, so I guess it's at like the end of your small intestine.
Yeah.
And it's literally just like this little knobby thing.
Yeah.
Like right at the end.
It's like not a necessary part of your body.
It's like right at the end of your intestines. And it's just this tiny little fucking little dilly.
You know those people at like, you know, Renaissance fairs, how they have foxtails? I bet that doctor just wanted to take it out so he could like put her little appendix on a fucking belt or some shit. Because he's a freak. Because why the fuck would you just take that out?
They burst.
Yeah, I guess they get full and burst.
They can fucking burst.
They can kill you.
They can, yeah, if it's not taken care of.
Oh, okay, we don't need to see the actual picture of a goddamn appendix.
Oof, that's so scary. All right, I always think about how, like, the worst is yet to come. How, like, some of the most painful moments in our life haven't happened to us yet. And,
okay, you're on one, and that's really, the things that you and my brother say sometimes
the
are like,
I'm
like, I never think about this. The worst is yet to come. Do you ever just think about how everyone you know and love will be dead and you will be cold and forgotten? That's like, no, I don't.
Yeah, we will literally all, this is it. This is all we have.
Okay, read another fucking story.
All right, hey hogs. A friend in our group got married 8 months ago to this brutally shitty chick, and it is the most dysfunctional relationship any of us have ever seen, and we are literally all taking pro-line bets on how long this relationship will last. Will you write us in when...
Is this written by a man or a woman?
This is written by a woman.
Okay.
Let us know. Whatever happens. My current bet is that they will get divorced after one kid. Other bets include divorced with zero kids within the first year of marriage or divorced after two kids and she takes the house. Payout is 3-1. Anyways, LMAO, let me give you guys some context. So my boyfriend has this group of buddies and that they've all had since childhood. They have been friends for 20 years and one of them met this girl who is a wretched cunt. But he proposed to her after a couple of years because, and I quote him, "That's just what you do." I am the girlfriend of one of these dudes in this 20-plus year friendship. And the other girls in these stories are the other girlfriends to these guys, like real housewife shit, okay? So this bitch particularly hates me for some reason. I have a bunch of plastic surgery. Yeah, hell yeah, that's why she hates you. I have a bunch of plastic surgery, girl, so I just think that she feels fucking triggered by my big, juicy, perfect tits. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is what it is.
Girls get really triggered by girls with plastic surgery. I don't know what it is, but it's true.
I don't know what that... I think
even
it's
if
like...
Even if it doesn't, like, look good, women still, they see that you have plastic surgery, and they're like, ew.
I think... Do you think that's, like, a result of the patriarchy or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's internalized misogyny.
Yeah, I think so. And that's women, that's why we're not going to get a fucking ahead if we're over here calling each other cunts.
Yeah, it's internalized misogyny because what I think what it tells women subconsciously is that the women that have plastic surgery are doing it to get men's attention. So she probably feels threatened that she like looks a certain way.
And hey,
she knows that it's for like a male, male gaze.
Who gives
a fuck? No,
and they're going to get her man's attention.
Yes, because she has big fake tits. And who gives a fuck? I bet they look great. They always do, usually. She's okay, triggered by her big perfect tits. So every time I see her... every time I see her, she will make some shitty fucking comment to me. Ew. Usually she'll say some shit like, do you trust your boyfriend when you're out of the country? He seems like the type of guy that would cheat on you. You're projecting, sis. I travel a lot for work. Or every single time we see them, she presses us on why we're not engaged yet. Like legit every single time. I always dodge the question because it's none of your fucking business. But finally, last time I went, oh, I'm sure it's in the cards one day. And she immediately goes, oh, really? Well, your man doesn't seem like the type to get married. Yo, she had that one locked and loaded.
You should
just be like, because I don't want to get married. He's proposed like 4 times and I just like don't want to.
Yeah.
You should be like, he's gay and I'm his beard.
Say that one.
Yeah. Other comments she has made to one chick. To the other chick, Sarah, in the group, she goes, no offense, Sarah, but I really like the girl he dated before you. She was honestly fucking awesome. Fight this cunt, dude. Fight this fucking cunt.
I dated someone with a female friend that would do this.
Nasty
that would
bitch.
Do this. And that is like, oh, it's rancid, nasty, nasty.
Fuck this bitch. Or she will call other girls brutal nicknames behind their backs and expect us not to tell each other. Obviously, we do because we're adults and bullying isn't cute. This girl has always been a bitch. She lost her jacket at a bar once, accused another girl of stealing it, and then when her husband wasn't looking for it, like, thoroughly enough, she bitch-slapped him in the face at the bar in front of everyone. She constantly rips on her husband, like, belittling him and divulging private information that's clearly meant to embarrass him.
Oh, ew.
Okay, so this bitch is either going to wind up dead or, I hope, cheated on. Leading up to the wedding, the guys all individually pulled their friend aside and straight up told him not to marry her. Can you imagine? Fuck, can you imagine being this dude and being like knowing that everybody fucking hates your soon-to-be wife? Even the day of the wedding, they were his groomsmen and they were like, buddy, it's not too late. You don't have to do this.
I'm dead.
He did anyways. Now fast forward 8 months, they're married. We all went to a barbecue this summer and this girl individually ran around the party crying to everyone separately at separate times of the night about how she's so unhappy in her marriage and her man never spends enough time with her. They don't travel enough. He won't give her a baby. She then went on to say that if they divorced, it wouldn't be that bad because she would get half the house. They've been married for 8 months at this point. This guy needs to get the fuck out.
Yeah, he just needs to get... Okay, let her have the house. Just get the fuck away.
Get the fuck out.
Just get out.
You don't want to have a baby.
We'll start a GoFundMe for you. Like, get the fuck out.
Don't have a baby with this woman, Jesus. So if it wasn't for how shitty of a person she was, I would feel bad for her. Honestly, I genuinely do. Like, hurt people hurt people. But literally 3 days ago, she said some other bullshit to me about my man. It's hard to try and be nice to people that as soon as you get within stabbing distance, will stab you in the back every single time. Mm-hmm. This couple is not friends. They don't even really like each other. The guys will all get together and my dude always brings me because we are literally best friends. And this girl saw that and asked to be invited and her husband straight up told her, no, I don't want you there. It's sad, man. Sad, but yeah, just don't marry people because it's the thing to do. Make sure you have love and friendship and loyalty and respect and all that shit. It's not about checking some fucking box or just posting your engagement ring and wedding and showing the world, look, I was chosen, unlike the rest of you bitches. Women feel this like social pressure to just take anything that comes their way because really your relationship is not relevant. Your relationship is not relevant. Your relationship status is. And I have seen so many girls do this and it's fucked. Seeing this couple have this fucking miserable relationship while being in the first year of marriage really gave me some perspective and made me realize how unimportant marriage really is. It's very easy to get married. The hard part is being happy. Ooh, we love closing on a fucking banger.
That was a fucking bar.
Ain't that it though?
Mm-hmm.
Wowie wowie.
I think it's sad that so many people do view marriage as this like huge fucking accomplishment that like they like work their whole lives like I need to be married by like this age and this. And now like, look, if you want a family, you want kids and you want all that, that's great. And I think you should work towards that. And I hope you get it. But I think that you shouldn't want that goal to such a perverse extent that you are willing to just kind of like sub anyone in that placeholder as right. long as you get to the finish line.
Because it just becomes about like getting a medal and not like caring about anything else.
Right. Because then all of a sudden you're carrying around a medal with like a bad personality and like spikes and it's not,
yeah.
it's not worth it, you know?
God. And it's such, and it is, you know, it sucks. Like this woman, as much as she sounds like a fucking raging cunt, like you said, hurt people, and it's really hard to have empathy for people who are straight up fucking assholes like this woman, whether or not, you know, she's like sociopathic or narcissistic, whatever it is, like she obviously has not had a lot of security in her life, be it with men,
it
women,
like
whatever.
She doesn't also have that many friends if she's like going around.
No, she sounds like a very lonely and miserable woman. And you know, you are the one who's responsible for the way that you treat people in the world. So I don't have a lot of like, it sucks that this is how she is to people. And it's obviously a result of her feeling like insecure and like, small in who she is, but you also are an adult and you have to start figuring out like you are in charge of the way that you treat people. So it's hard to have empathy for people who are that shitty and treat people that shitty.
Oh, no, totally. And I think she did a good job of, like, trying. But, yeah, if someone's repeatedly mean to you, you also are allowed to have boundaries and be like, look, like,
yeah.
I know I didn't, like, intentionally do anything to you, but, like, you know, you still don't. I don't think you have to take it in a sense. I don't mean, like, being like, hey, fuck you, bitch. But I'm just saying, like, you know, whether it's not going to things she's at or, you yeah. know, just when she starts talking to you, just maybe just – I don't know if the cold shoulder is the right thing to. I'm really not entirely sure. I'm still learning
you
how to
be. You can always just kind of be pleasant with people and be like, hi, keep it like, moving.
I guess if she keeps bringing up the engagement thing, I think you can
politely be like, it's out of your business.
Yeah, that. And I also really loved what you were saying. Like, you can just start saying, like, whack-ass shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly. I don't know. Also, it does suck, like, how much pressure is put on people to get married. And, like, once you do, that makes you socially relevant. Like, yeah, I did it. I'm a person in society now. You know, it's like we hold no relevance until we're, like, married. And that's so fucking stupid.
It's especially, I don't feel like it's as bad out on, like, the West Coast, but definitely in the South, it's, like, a huge, and Midwest, it's, like, a huge fucking deal.
Yeah.
And, like, almost all the people I knew from high school are, if not married, they're in serious, serious, like, relationships. It was, like, so interesting. And, I mean, when I just went to my good buddies, who I'm actually going to be in Wisconsin with in October, I'm doing shows, but when I just went to his wedding in Seattle, beautiful wedding. He's been with his girl since they were in fucking high school, you know, now they're in their 30s and it's really sweet. But I was looking around and I think I had talked about it on here, but I was one of the only single people at this wedding. And I was realizing too, like I was going back and reading old journals last night and I'm like, I really thought I was going to be married by 27. I just like.
So young when you think. Like,
it's so young. And now I'm like, oh my God, but I still have placenta on my face at 29. Like I can't. But it's like really interesting. And I'm jaded from past relationships and maybe I'll grow out of it. But like as of right now, I'm like, I honestly do not see myself ever getting married.
I wonder if any of us will get married. And when, if we do.
Yeah.
I wonder if we will. I wonder if any of us will get married.
I'm such a product of divorce.
Oh,
my
yeah.
mom's on her third marriage. My sister's getting divorced.
Is she?
Yeah.
Like, the Masons are splitting up.
My grandmother got divorced. My aunt got divorced. Like, my great-grandmother got divorced. Like,
do you
everybody
care about getting
in my
married?
Family. Not really.
Yeah. I don't either.
I don't feel like guys do. Am I wrong?
I would rather just be in like a long-term relationship. It doesn't have to
I'd rather just have a good relationship.
I think a lot of people also do it because like you have to remember that there's so many like tax incentives and whatnot.
Yeah.
And like you
don't even understand. Who cares?
But here's the thing.
I don't pay my taxes.
Okay. Well, don't even get me started on what I'm doing with my taxes. Okay. But I think there's like a lot to it. It's not just like, oh, the ring and like the social like accomplishment. It's also for taxes, healthcare, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
If one of you guys gets hurt, the hospital room, da 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 da.
Right. But, it's stupid though, isn't it?
I don't know. I kind of am kind of giving Dying Alone vibes and I'm not really that mad at it.
Yeah. I wonder.
But also I have such big walls up right now.
You know what I think about too? Sorry, Lee, to cut you off real quick.
No.
I just think about like that whoever like us, like whoever we're going to end up with is like out there right now and we may or may not know that they exist. I think about that a lot. I'm like, our future partners, whoever they are just fucking out somewhere in the world.
Yeah, that is really right interesting.
Who are you? Do we
know
you?
Stop hiding from us, please.
Have we already fucked you? Do we not know you exist?
No,
who are you and where are you?
I don't think we know them yet.
I don't know.
Fingers crossed.
You have so many dudes being like, me, it's me.
I wonder who they are.
You wake up one day and you go, it's actually a girl? Okay.
I do think about that too. Cause like now I could actually be in like my gay era that I've always wanted to be in. Now I can like finally be in it.
Okay, wait, not us being fucking queer icons.
I know. I'm like actually free. I'm like, wait a second. Like I can like, when I'm ready, like I could go date women. And I've always wanted to do that, but
you
I'm
have.
Not ready yet.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to date anyone yet. Like my sponsor said, do you really think you have anything to give anyone right now? And no, I don't. But one day.
And that's an honesty, baby.
Yeah. Should we do another?
Yeah, I got you. When I turned 30, my addiction was at its peak. I met some dude and fell in love with him, but he was gay. We still messed around, though. Then I met his brother, which was another non-gay version of him. I married him. On the day of our wedding, he was so strung out on heroin that I almost had to fucking carry him to the chapel because he kept falling and shit.
Oh, fuck.
I should have ran then, but my self-esteem was hella low. I didn't care. On that night, we didn't have sex because he was passed out. Later, thank you for respecting his boundary. Later that week, he stole my car and rent money for heroin. Lee, he also cheated on me, which that was the last of my worries. I was so mad he took my money. Then he sent people to break into my house and steal all my shit.
Oh.
I really hated that they took my clothes.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Okay. When I found out that he was wanted by the cops, I fucking called them. Even if people think that's a rat, he got sentenced to 20 years. In prison for shit he had done to other people, not me, but I was happy that I got away from that one. I divorced him while he was in prison. He recently called me to say, let's get married again so you can come visit me. I'm sober now, still make dumb choices, but not at that level. Wow.
Oh, that's really intense.
Thank you so fucking much for writing in.
I'm sorry.
Holy shit.
That's really pain. And I know that like that was small, but I know there's a lot of pain in that story, and there's probably a lot of fucking stories in that story.
Yeah, and congratulations on being sober now.
I'm getting divorced. Fuck, that's heavy, dude. Goddamn. Well, short but intense.
Yeah,
that's
20 years.
Wedding stories from an ex-wedding photographer.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
After photographing weddings for nearly 10 years, I have so many stories. So here are just a couple of my favorites. Hope you enjoy. Sloppy ceremony. At the very first wedding I worked, the wedding party all started drinking before the ceremony. Not uncommon, but they all pre-gamed hard. As the wedding started and they all walked down the aisle, you could smell the alcohol, but everyone made it down beautifully. During the ceremony, there was a lot of giggling from the wedding party as a whole, but especially the bride and groom. Then when it came down to the I do's, they were both bent over giggling, and finally the groom said, I do, and she do too. And they kissed, and the party started. Continued. They were just a blast the rest of the night, and the groomsmen even went streaking at the end of the night because, of course, they did. That's cute. That's a wild wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Wholesome. The wedding that wasn't. One of my craziest stories was from when I was still starting out and doing a lot of budget weddings for next to nothing. God, I bet those are some wild ones.
It's giving Hollywood Boulevard.
It's giving, like, Appalachia trailer.
Yeah.
For every wedding I have ever done, and after this, before and after this one, I was contacted and booked by the bride or sometimes the groom. But for this wedding, I was contacted and booked by the sister of the groom. I never met the bride and groom. Weird. Oh, it's the wedding that wasn't. That's why. The day of the wedding, I arrived at the house of the groom's family to take photos of them getting ready before the ceremony. That's when the drama started. I don't remember exactly what happened, but someone drove by someone else's house and saw them drinking in the yard, and this might mean the wedding is off. There are lots of calls and texts back and forth, but we eventually end up at the church. I arrive first with the groom's family, and then the bride's family starts to arrive. Everyone was there and ready, except the bride and groom. We wait and wait, and before too long, the families start yelling at each other and fighting. To the point, it's honestly... It's giving, what is it? Romeo and Juliet, Capulets and what's the other
Montagues.
One?
Montagues.
Capulets and Montagues.
Yeah.
It's giving Capulets and Montagues. Capulets. Whatever.
Okay, I can't.
The families start yelling at each other and fighting to the point that the church clergy had to step in and ask them to be respectful, that we were in a house of God and to take it outside. So they did. Yeah. Everyone filed out of this tiny little neighborhood church, and the family squared off in the yard.
No!
This is so giving fucking Appalachia trailer.
Yeah, this honestly is.
West Side Story style, and just screamed and hollered at each other. I was photographing the whole thing.
Yes!
So good. And someone leaned in and said, I don't think they want pictures of this, to which I responded, I was paid to take pictures. I'm going to take pictures. Hilarious. Eventually, the couple did show up. They were dressed very casual, not in their wedding attire. They asked everyone to leave and said, if we get married today, we don't want any of you here for it.
Oh! Wow!
Whoa. As everyone was leaving, someone from the groom's family came up to me and said, we have you till 11, right? Guess you're going to come party with us. The groom's family had already paid for the reception hall and they didn't want it to go to waste. So they went and they had a party. But the bride's family had paid for the food and they showed up to get it. Unfortunately, I didn't see exactly what happened, but police were called to help mediate the pickup. They didn't let that stop them, though. They went to Taco Cabana, a local fast food chain, and came back with bags and bags of tacos and partied until they were kicked out. I have no idea if the bride and groom ever actually got married or not. That's fucking chaotic.
That is so fucking chaotic, but so fucking goddamn funny. I love that you like got to just go party with them.
That's so fucking... Wait, here's a really, really short one. I'll just read this to close us off.
Okay, but wait. I want that person to... If you can...
Send
me
the pictures.
Bitch, you already know. Send in the
pictures. We won't show
it
if you don't want. We just want to see.
You know we're nosy.
Or if you want, we can show them and have show and tell on Patreon.
That's so funny. That's so intense. I love that you were there for that. I would have been living for that drama.
Oh, honey. Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, my God. Wait, just really quick. I forgot that I went to this wedding in Missouri, and it was my boyfriend at the time's best high school friend, and he was from France. He was a foreign exchange student. That's how they met. So he is from France and his girl's from Missouri. And so they're getting married in Missouri with the family and whatever. And the families like didn't really like each other that much. And all of his family kept talking in French. And then finally, like, they pulled me aside. They're like, Harper, like, you seem cool. Like, fuck her. And then they just started like going off. And then I got included in the drama, not fuck her to the bride, fuck her to her mom. And like, they just like were giving me all the fucking gossip. And then like one of her cousins comes up to me and they're like, the French accent sounds awful. And then one of his family members came up and just cursed that kid out in French. And I was like, you know what? I'm living for this drama. And then a girl there told me that she fucked my boyfriend. And then I cried when I was drunk.
What's a wedding without some hot tea?
Yeah.
We love that.
We love to see it.
Okay, so this is actually a story about my friend, not me. Also, it's short but sweet. So my friend was engaged to the first girl she ever dated, but broke it off because homegirl didn't brush her teeth at night. That's all. Thanks for sharing, if you do. I appreciate all of you making me laugh throughout the day. I mean, that is short but sweet. She didn't brush her teeth. So she must have not really been that in love.
Yeah.
Or maybe she wasn't. It was just like that was what broke the camel's fucking back.
Here's the thing. It may not seem like that. You're like, oh, it's just one little thing. But like, think about it. Like, that's so fucking stinky.
That's
and
true.
I personally
right.
don't want to, I think it goes deeper than that. I personally don't want to saddle up with someone that doesn't believe in taking care of themselves.
That because has if shitty hygiene.
If you're not able to take care of yourself, then you're not able to like care for other people. I don't think you're going to make a good partner or a good parent. So I'm out.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that you're right. That could just be the little thing where you're like, I can't do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. It also, was that stinky fucking breath? Like,
we like to think that like breakups have to be this because of this big huge event, but like I think a lot of it is because of these little tiny things that just like, you know, keep leading up. These little tiny things are you're just like, I can't do this,
and that's okay.
Yeah, not that fucking haggard breath.
If you have to deal with morning breath and night breath, when is it good? The afternoon?
I will admit, I go to sleep most nights without brushing my teeth because I am too lazy.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Your teeth are going to be yellow in no time.
I brush the shit out of them in the day. But sometimes I go to bed without brushing them.
Okay, so if you're Gabby's soulmate, either wait till she gets over that or come here to correct
her. Not every night. But sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I'm too lazy to do it. Just too lazy.
What about, but you floss every night.
I floss.
Okay.
Yeah. Not every night, but I floss. And I brush my teeth every morning.
Every morning?
Every morning. I feel like that's when it counts the most.
Yeah. I mean, it counts at night too.
But, but mostly.
A relationship was just ended because it counted so much.
But. Well,
Lee, you kind of look.
Lee,
okay,
when do you brush your teeth?
Lee, you look like you just used mouthwash. And by mouthwash, I mean a Red Bull.
A Red Bull.
You swiggle. Yeah. Swiggle's not a word.
Do you do, swirl. Do you brush?
It is when you're Red Bull.
Night and day, floss morning and night.
That's really good.
But I have fake teeth. And so I get really, I'm so paranoid about them like falling out or like, I don't know, getting like fucked up. So I'm like very neurotic.
Within the past, like, honestly, within the past like year or so, I started brushing my teeth at night. I was only morning for like my whole life.
Okay.
And I barely floss.
This is why we could never date.
Okay. I have a water flosser now that I use sometimes.
Do you brush your teeth every morning? Do you ever go days without brushing your teeth at at all, morning and night?
I used to.
No, you still do. But okay, you guys. Okay, horrible. Lee is feral. Gabby needs to use some floss.
I'm half feral.
I'm divorced too. Okay, here's the thing.
Actually,
you guys, you actually are legally divorced. Lee and I will get married and get divorced, but that's for another episode at another time. Maybe on our 2-year reunion.
Hey, if anybody's a huge fan of this podcast, you can get married in our podcast.
You guys can. You don't even have to be a Patreon member. You can just come here and get married.
What if we did? What if we did a marriage on the
podcast? Gabby and I will get ordained and we will marry you on the podcast. And if that sounds fun, then you guys can subscribe to our YouTube.
Wouldn't that be fun if we had a tea time marriage?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Pretty fun.
We're coming to Miss Girl's vow renewals or whatever. Okay. But anyway, we just invited ourselves. But okay, you guys, this is the end of the podcast. We love to see it. What am I supposed to say? Okay, you guys, Patreon.
Subscribe to our YouTube.
Subscribe to our YouTube. Tell a friend. We're like 4 subscribers away from getting our YouTube
monetized. Back and running.
Monetized again after, you know, our whole little slip up.
Not us getting canceled because Lee left porn in. I'm dead. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, we love you guys. Keep submitting. Keep subscribing
so
to our
much.
Patreon. Keep telling us stories. We love it. You make our lives better. Sorry, I was sick this week.
Keep suggesting topics too, because we've been loving y'all's topics. And
medical mishaps is a really, we should do that for next one.
Misdiagnosed.
Yeah? Misdiagnosed.
Yeah, okay. we should do that next week. Also, guys, I am looking for help for the pod. So I have a couple things I'd like to get done. Specifically, I know it's super simple, but if you have experience with WordPress and making a WordPress site look really good and have experience with like, emails and professional emailing, I could really use a hand. So if you want
to join our team.
Yeah. If you want to join our team and be, my assistant more or less, email the tea time email, tea time stories 42069@gmail.com. And use the subject, I don't know, assistant or help. Lee needs help.
Or give Lee a Blumpkin. And
well, maybe not that. But also, I just want to say, if you are in college, you can receive college credit. And you can be, I can answer more about that. But so if you are in college and you would like to do this, let us know. Because there's paperwork we can fill out and sign. And you can be, employed through us/your college.
100%. And you don't have to be in LA. This can all be done remotely. So please reach out if you want to come and work with us.
Yeah.
Yay. We would love that. We love you. And the moral of today's story is don't get married.
Yeah.
Or get married and get divorced.
Or get married if you really trust the person and that's good. I'm jaded, so I don't know if that I'll ever get there. But if you can get there, I'm proud of you.
Yeah. There we go.
Bye, guys.
And is love at first sight real? Give us your thoughts.
It could be.
We don't know. Bye.
Bye. that, honestly. Come on, dude.